It is time now for The Other Side, and we are joined here in the studio by Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative, to help us out today. How are you?
I'm good, Aaron. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. So there's a lot in the news, as always.
We're gonna
make it local this week, because, and this is something that we're hopefully going to be continuing to talk about, but this is something that happened last week in response to the school shooting in Parkland, Florida last year. Governor Cooper organized a special committee on school shootings to get together. This was a number of sheriffs, including Charles Blackwood from Orange County. So they've been meeting, and last week they came out with their report with a list of 33 recommendations for how the state of North Carolina can and should move forward with regard to school safety and at least reducing the risk of school shootings. So we're talking about that today. What was the gist of the report?
The findings were broken down into 5 categories of recommendations. A lot of the focus was on school resource officers.
Mm-hmm.
They recommended having a school resource officer in every school,
mm-hmm.
if at all possible.
And then additional training for the school resource officers as
yes.
well. So, yeah, have them there and increase training.
Right. And then more of the emphasis is on physical security for the schools, like designing schools to be more secure, like have one entrance. Have,
right.
You know, safety equipment as well, you know, metal detectors, things like that.
I think
that.
Just the architecture of the buildings too, right?
Because yeah,
we've had conversations
exactly.
about this with other people where they've said, oh, the architecture of the building and the way that it's designed, just the hallways and open spaces or
right.
lack of open spaces can make a big difference in terms of just how safe the building is in case something happens.
Right. I know, because when I think about, you know, my high school,
mm-hmm.
it was so spread out, and you can say, hey, everybody's supposed to check in at the office or something when you arrive on campus, but it could be so vulnerable.
There's like 8 different doors and 1 office in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 8 different buildings.
So yeah,
go,
that too as well.
Know. And then threat assessments, and they suggest having weekly meetings at each school to talk about any student behavior or anything else that they have seen as a perceived threat.
And encouraging people to submit information as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a tip line
right.
recommendation too.
That sounds like a smart idea. I think where the situation gets a little bit stickier is with the school law enforcement partnerships aspect of the recommendations, because it seems like, I mean, you talked about the addition of more SROs, but it seems like there's been some public concern that just adding more police officers
right.
in school will not make the situation safer and will perhaps make some students feel less safe.
This
and
is
then,
a concern, right? Like, I mean, there's so
yeah.
many different issues to address just with education in general, that if you respond
right.
to the threat of school shootings with an increase in law enforcement, then that might have negative effects in other areas, which
right.
I could see.
So there's also concerns as to students' privacy. You know, I'm not an expert in FERPA, but it seems like there's going to be a lot of training on that for the school staff and resource officers and whatnot. But it also seems to me to be eliminating as much of student privacy as the law allows.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, there's recommended statutory changes or additions, which includes some things that were suggested in past assembly sessions. And this is where I have the biggest issue. Part of what they recommend is a red flag law, which we'll see what's in it later on. But that's one of the things that the committee members are getting behind. So
yeah,
that's a concern for me.
Yeah. And then there's one other big one, too. And I mean, we're trying to summarize 33 different points and kind of narrow it down into 6. But the other one is mental health, right? Like the $55 million in the budget for mental health personnel and training, more school nurses, more school counselors, training and increasing the prevalence of reporting early warning signs and encouraging people to do that, anti-bullying programs, which
mm-hmm.
I've talked with the people at the OCRCC about this and the Compass Center, the local organizations that don't necessarily deal with school safety, but they have anti-bullying programs. And they say, well, this is this is a program that has long-term benefits in a whole bunch of different ways that you would not necessarily think, one of which is if you can keep people from being bullies when they're in elementary school, then those people are then less likely to be violent when they are older as well.
Right. You know, I think that a lot of people, probably I would say most people at some point in their life, are going to be both the bullied and the bullier.
And the bully.
It's just part of growing up. I don't know if people ever grow out of it, really. It's just a human behavior. Yeah. I mean, to an extent, it's just a human behavior. You know, we have hierarchies and pecking orders in life, and that's sort of how the one way it's sorted out. But then there's bullying that is just, you know, approaching the level of harassment where kids' lives are just really made miserable, and they might, you know, lash out in like the most violent, awful way that they can think of. So certainly there's concern there, you know, that whether it's these threat assessment teams or whoever is paying attention to, or peer-to-peer, like you were saying, like the students are, you know, working together. So mental health is certainly something that should be a focus as part of this. But, and I don't think the governor's committee got so far into this, although they did say that they did recommend that threat assessment teams have a universal and effective mental health screening tool. Mm-hmm. And then the House Committee on School Safety drafted legislation that was basically along the same lines, which is a statewide system for mental health screening of school children. And I have such a huge problem with that, because is every kid going to have to be participating in this mental health screen? I mean, there's option for parents to even have their child opt out of it.
And we do physical health screens, don't we?
Yeah, I think. Well, as far as I remember,
yeah.
I guess.
I had to go through those, and yeah.
Yeah, but... Well, you know, I don't quite understand why those are mandatory either. I feel like there's not enough emphasis on the parent's responsibility. And also, there's nowhere that I really saw or could even read into from either the governor's report, the governor's committee's report, or the House that it in both cases, it seemed that they were always looking for a way to make the student fit the school. In other words, that it was never like this environment that could be part of the problem that was causing the student, you know, mental distress. And nowhere do they suggest that maybe a different learning environment might be a good recommendation for some students.
Okay, so speaking with Ashley Campbell, what would that entail? So I think when we talk about the school shootings as an issue, we always end up going in two directions, right? You've got people who say, well, it's about guns, you reduce the prevalence of guns and you'll address the school shootings. And then you've got kind of Second Amendment advocates who say, no, it's about mental health. And then the response is, okay, well, let's talk about mental health, and then that's when the conversation dies. But if there's a third option,
I'm just saying that in some cases, children might be depressed or anxious, or, you know, send out signals that they may hurt themselves or others because the school environment is actually contributing to their poor mental state. Like, some children just don't do well in a public school environment, but there's no concession of that they may do better in a private school, or, you know, their parents could look at homeschooling or something like that. Just, I mean, there's a lot of different options. So maybe a different type of learning environment might help the student feel better mentally. But there's certainly suggestions to make schools safer as far as the architecture and adding resource officers and things that we've talked about. But nowhere does it say that the school structure itself could be contributing to the student who has to go there every day for several hours, that might be a cause of their distress.
So if you want to carry the conversation forward to the next step, what should the next step be?
As far as what exactly?
Like, well, we've got these 33 points from the governor's committee. You've got the House Select Committee. Now we take these reports and we say, okay, so what now? What do we do now, if anything? What should the focus of priority be?
Well, I think the priority of adding resource officers in schools. So I don't think that's a bad recommendation. I think that that's a good priority. As far that's a pragmatic priority. Mm-hmm. I'll put it that way. As well as the mental health resources, making those available. I just have an issue with mandatory mental health screening. But then I think that, you know, parents should also look at what their child's school is doing already. I mean, we have in Orange County schools, at least, something that the school board has, they've contracted with a company called Social Sentinel mm-hmm. to screen students' social media. And so, you know, has the school board received a report on that? I'm not quite sure. I wish I'd had more time to look into it. But, you know, what kind of, how helpful is that sort of thing? I mean, how much can students' privacy really be compromised? Because, you know, there is a danger, I think, of the students' privacy becomes so compromised that they're just essentially being expected to have no privacy. So when they go out in the you know, in the real world after school, sort of, so to speak, that they won't have the same expectations that we have, you know, as far as the role of government in our lives, that they will not have a problem with government being more intrusive, you know, scanning their social media profiles and whatnot for potential problematic behaviors. So I think that parents just need to be more involved and see what's going on in their children's schools already, and be an advocate for whatever policies you think are more going to be more effective. Just argue one way or another, because, you know, after these committees' reports have come out, like, as I've said, there's been legislation drafted, but there's a long way to go before they're made into law. So just, you know, write your representatives in our state government and make your thoughts known on what's in these reports and what's going on a daily basis at your child's school.
And we'll leave it there. Ashley Campbell with The Other Side, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you, Aaron.